Petso. Dave answers your questions about personal finance. He provides insight into making the most on your money using over 20 years of experience. Money Matters is brought to you in part by Petso Financial Consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank, with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Petso, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional and an investment advisor representative with Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated. Registered representative securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisor representative Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated and Petso Financial Consultants are not affiliated companies. And now the host of Money Matters, Dave Petso.
Hello and good morning. Well, happy 4th of July, of course. And I hope you all have great plans for this weekend to not only, of course, celebrate the birth of this great nation, but also to spend time with family. And that's what I'm doing. And so the first hour I'm going to be on today, I, of course, I'm here. And so call in first hour. It's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. The second hour is going to be a rerun, actually, from last week, our second annual men's health program. I'm going to do that again in the second hour. Fantastic stuff if you haven't heard it. If you have, then fantastic stuff. You can really learn it the second time around. And Dr. Don Srisky will be, of course, again, sharing his many 35 years experience as a urologist. And it is absolutely terrific information. So I do hope for those of you who haven't listened, you get a chance to. And for those ladies who think it's all men's health, well, it is, and men's health, like ladies' health, affects your partner as well. All right, so let's move on. I've got to touch on this. This is a brief issue here. You know, it's constant in the news, and it has been on and off in the news for only 7 years now. And what I want to touch on is not what the news, what the outcome's going to be, how irrelevant Greece is, whatever. All of those things are all things everybody has talked about. I want to talk about the fact that the markets are skittish. But is that because of Greece? Or is that because of China? Or is that because of Russia may take over Greece or whatever? Is it just the Federal Reserve? Is it, what is it? It's what markets do. They're always skittish. What I think is missing from the dialogue here, or at least in our, to try to think this through, is that we're constantly missing the simple fact that we have so much information thrown at us, yelled at us, talked down to us constantly, day in, day out, 24/7. We don't turn it off because we've got, by golly, we've got our internet. And what appears to be smart or intellectually thoughtful dialogue is often nothing more than an interesting argument about why, again, the world is ending. Now, you don't necessarily think it that way. It's different this time. It's way, way different. And I'm not just talking about the doomsday blogs that are one after the other, after the other, after the other. You know, I'm talking about weird stuff, you know, Shemitahs and blood moons and nonsense. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the constant mantra that comes from Rand Paul, that comes constantly from Stockton, Stansbury Research, or whatever the name of that firm. I don't think they've ever wrote a positive article about anything, ever. And when you get in that kind of a mode, if you will, that my, all of my inputs are negative, it's hard to find positive ones anyway. You know, you say, well, maybe all of your inputs are positive. Well, I hope so. I try. Well, why would I try that? Because you can't help but hear and know and see over and over and over and over again all of the things that are wrong and why this is the end of the world. So right now we're focused on Greece. Or are we really focused on China? You know, and their slowdown there. Or their stock market bubble. You know, it's only in the A shares. Well, what are A shares Those are the things that they've been trading, and stop it. Just find another thing somewhere. Go. Search. Find something that scares you. Blow it out of proportion. And boom, we've got our whole new worry again. It isn't that everything is sunshine and roses. Not remotely. Not remotely. There are always problems. Always. There are always problems. Isn't it interesting in life? Aren't there always problems in your personal life? Like, there's always stuff. And we have great days where it's like everything is perfect. But isn't there stuff? Isn't there like a problem with a sibling? Isn't there a problem with a parent? Isn't there a problem with your kids? Your health? We roll from one thing to another, just like nations do. Nations of people. People. People are perfect. And we have economies that are good and bad. Generally now, we're rich and discontented. Rich and discontented. Interesting. If I could only win the lottery, I would solve all my money problems, and I would have the same exact other problems, and I will continue to be discontented. Fascinating. The richer we get, the worse off we feel. Weird. But it seems that we're in that mode. To me, it seems that way. Where no matter how much money we have, no matter how much wealth we have, no matter how great progress has been, all some people see is what's wrong, why it's really horrible, and they seem to want to drag everybody else down with them. This is a constant flow. Now, if we're in that mode of everything is always like that, if we're not seeking what's right, looking for what's okay, then how can we manage money properly? I don't believe you can. Everything is negative by nature. Our own thoughts are fearful. And God wired us that way, right? He wired us to be afraid of things that could kill us. Not markets. They can't kill you. They can't. But what people do is they sit around and fuss over this until it really literally makes them unhappy, sad, fearful, and frozen. So we sit in cash and lose a little bit of money every year as if there's going to be some magic sign that it's all okay. And I'm trying to think when the magic signs have occurred in my 35-year career. You know, it's hard when you're not in the business, right? You're like, you're a kid growing up. You don't like, well, you know, I'm trying to remember what it was. You know what? I was playing baseball, right? You know, that's all I'm doing, and hanging around with my friends and playing out in the field. That's all I'm doing. I don't know what's going on. I have no idea what's going on. I have no idea what I should be scared of or not scared of. And I think this whole idea of us going back in time as if, you know, there's some golden era from, I don't know, in the 1950s, it was all sunshine and roses. 1960s was just awesome. No. There's a bunch of very dope-smoking hippies and stuff like that. That's what we did. Some people did. We're solving problems. People were actually, we had a whole lot of internal terrorism going on here. In our own country, it was pretty messy. Civil rights, fun stuff. Women's rights, fun stuff. It must have been great to be a woman, you know, professional woman back then. That's what I'm thinking of. You know, it was just so much better back then. And we look back at those times as if they were all without problems. And I just don't see that. I don't see that at all. When I started in this industry in 1980, it was we were just about to top out at 20.5% prime lending rate. You're like, well, 25, yeah, but that was just a moment. I mean, it was. You're right. Absolutely. I've said that many times. This is like this flash moment. Except what we forget is that interest rates were above 8%, like forever. 8. But we're hovering around 0. if you will, on long-term interest rates. We're hovering around, I don't know, the whole housing market's probably going to collapse because, you know, long-term 30-year mortgages might be at 4.25, 4.5. I mean, that's what you hear in the news. Isn't that nuts? Like, I don't know, if interest rates are raised a little bit, I don't know. I think housing's going to collapse. And we get into this whole idea that a quarter of a point, a half a point, and if anything gets higher interest rate now, it's a whole negative mantra. So was it great in the 1980s? Well, after that, things got better. Things got better. A lot better. Ronald Reagan, what a rock star president he was. Amazing. Amazing. And it was a great economy. Improving. But not without worries. We have the 87 crash. We have the 89 turndown. And then 1990, we had a mini crash. We had long-term capital. We had Asian currency crisis. We have the Soviet Union imploding. And then, of course, we have Y2K. We know that's going to bring about the end of the world because the computers won't know what to do and will lob nuclear weapons at each other. Where are those people today? Oh, I know. They're doing the Stansbury research. That's what they're doing. That's right. They're telling people about what this CIA guy says or what have you. They're running those websites today. Constant. Negative. It's never been without something to worry about, but what we forget all of the time is that today we have too much data thrown at us all the time. And if you will, you multiply that out by all the negativity that there is. And it is in our own minds and in how it's reported. Good news is not reported. And we wonder why we are worried. Worried about the markets during the most abundant time anybody's been on earth. That's the blessing we have. And we live in the greatest nation ever. The richest nation, greatest nation, most freedom, most cool stuff, most access to knowledge, healthcare, and if you will, peace, if we seek it. If we seek it. But you can't seek it with more data. We have to turn it off. And, of course, the natural instinct there is, well, but then I'm putting my head in the sand. I need to be informed. You are informed. It's okay to take a deep breath and know what you know. What you know now. And then learn more. But to inundate yourself with negative data is not wisdom. It is not even knowledge. It's noise. And it steers us into one direction. Negative. World ending. Fearful. I don't want to invest right now. I'm going to wait. Wait for what? The only time I can think of in my career, two times, that I can think in my career, that it felt like it was okay. It was really okay. And everybody universally thought so. We're the end of the 90s, before we had the great internet bubble burst. And in 1987, after a huge turnaround in the whole world, what an incredible economy President Reagan helped bring in. Unbelievable. From really doomsday. You can certainly understand that people felt very comfortable by, say, 6 years later after this incredibly long, deep recession, high interest rates. How people were very, very comfortable. And we did, in fact, have the 87 crash. the euphoria does lead to that. We're not in a euphoric state. It feels like everybody needs Prozac. It does. If I'm going to put my money in the market, I'm going to have to get some drugs. I just have to. I just don't know how I'm going to survive because it's so scary. And it's not scary. It is not. But if we sit and read about it, dwell on it, try to figure out things that we can't figure out. The future. You don't know it. You won't know it. You can't know it. All the greats say they haven't known it. That's not how you make money in the markets. It's not. Guessing the future is not how you make money in the markets. Guessing what the market's going to do is not how you make money in the markets. We make money in the markets by staying in the markets, by relaxing and enjoying the incredible wealth that the great corporations of the world continue to generate. And we can be part of that. That's how easy it is and how hard it is. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We've got to take a quick break here. And when we come back, I do want your phone calls. I will be live this first hour only. Ring them up, and we'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436. This is Money Matters with Dave Petso on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. Our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. Hey, before I go quickly to a caller, I wanted to make one more point with this whole Greek mess, and why. And I really want you to think about this if you're kind of focused on reading some of the negativity and all. Okay, and it's okay. I get it. It sucks you in, and they sound intelligent. I totally get it. But one of the things that we need to bear in mind, this has gone on, the Greek thing has gone on for like 7 years. 7 years. And continuing to reiterate for 7 years. And thousands and thousands and thousands of points in the Dow, in the markets. I don't care if it's the German markets or what have you. You know, they're off a whopping, 4 or 5% from the all-time highs in the midst of this. My point is this. When you scream and yell about something and then it finally occurs and the market pulls back a tiny bit after going up, say, 100%, and then we pull back 5, is not right. It's dead wrong. It's still dead wrong. So constantly talking about the same stuff until, like a stopwatch, you're finally right. Again, it keeps people out of the markets for thousands of points so that they miss a few hundred on the downside. Seriously? That's what you're going to see proclaimed if we have even a normal correction, which we've been avoiding, like I said, for thousands of points. Our number is 580-KIDO. Let's go to Mike. Mike, how are you today?
Hi, Dave. Thanks.
Good, good.
Thanks for taking my call. Hope you have a good fourth.
Yeah, happy fourth to you.
I just want to make a few. I'm out here in the hot sun, so I'm going to make a few points and then get in the shade and listen to you on the radio.
Great.
On Greece, I bet those Greece people wish they had a little bit of gold and silver, actually. I know you hate gold and silver, but, those pensioners get, what, $66 a day until the banks run out?
Not for anybody. Nobody can take money out right now. Yeah.
Well, right. I thought the pensioners could get $66 a day.
Well, I think anybody that has any, that's what the ATMs will take out. I didn't know it was just pensioners. I think anybody can take money out.
That's what I heard on the news, that they were lining up daily to get their $66.
Well, they are. Everybody is. I don't think it's just pensioners is my point.
Okay.
I think it's all people. Yeah, the banks are closed, so, yeah.
Well, I heard pensioners should get $66 a day, but that's not the reason I called.
Yeah.
So what about an underground economy? I mean, if they actually had a little bit of gold and a little bit of silver, you always talk about taking a bar of gold to the grocery store. Well, did you know that they sell gold fractionally, like 1/20th and 1/10th of an ounce? So you don't have to have a 10-pound bar to go buy a loaf of bread. You could actually have fractional, and you could have silver, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you always talk about, you know, and don't get me wrong, I have stocks. I know it's the only game in town.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, but wouldn't you think it would be wise to have a little bit of an insurance policy? I mean, look at those Greeks. I bet if you ask them right now, I bet they would say, son of a gun, yeah, I wish I had a little bit of insurance. You know, not 100%, maybe 5 or 10% of your total wealth, but it'd be nice to have a little bit of insurance, wouldn't it, Dave?
Mike, I think, you know, and we've talked about this before, not you and I, but I mean, I've talked about it many times.
Sure.
I don't really have a problem if somebody says, hey, look, I'm going to have 5-10% of my money sitting in gold. Go ahead. I don't choose to, personally, because I just don't, it doesn't logically make any sense.
No.
Do I think currencies in the future might be different? We might have a digital thing. We might have something else. I don't know. But here's the thing. When we look at Greece or Zimbabwe or anywhere like that, right? I mean, seriously, I think these things are telegraphed for long periods of time.
Well, yeah.
I don't live there. So my thing is, if I'm in Zimbabwe, obviously, I'm not buying stocks there. I'm not buying the currency there.
Well, you could in the U.S. market.
What, pardon me?
You could in the U.S. market. Why couldn't you?
Well,
if you're a trader.
What I'm saying is, it's a totally different economy and a totally different level of safety, or if you will, you know, for example, the Greece, don't, as we know, and this is one of the big problems, they don't have their own currency. They have to just go ahead and invent it. So my point is, if you live in those types of places where the currency is depreciating rapidly, and it has been in Greece for years, meaning their own, the thought about their country, their own government bonds, as the interest rates have spiked, that's yelling danger. I think you can adjust to those types of things and should. Do I feel concerned about the United States that I'm going to wake up tomorrow and the dollar will not be
taken
out?
Well, no, of course not, because we're the world reserve currency, you know.
Currently, yes.
And we always are going to be. Nothing could ever go wrong. I mean, look, we get 8 years of Hillary Clinton. It's going to be sunshine, lollipops, smooth sailing. Nothing could possibly go wrong.
I mean,
stocks and you know, paper is always going to be the place you want to have 100% of your assets. I mean, to me, that's irrational. I mean, you ought to have 5 or 10% in physical. I mean, there was a guy that used to call in all the time and tell you how much money he made on gold and silver. And then he called in a while back, and he'd finally given up. He said, yeah, it's over. It's going to zero. It's a bear market, you know. And he'd thrown in the towel. But, I mean, Dave, I just don't see it. I think you got to have a little bit of insurance.
Well,
I mean, I've done quite well in stocks.
Well, what's that?
I said, I've done quite well in stocks, but I've got a little bit of insurance. I think a prudent person would.
Right.
But anyway, I'll hang up and listen to you, Dave. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Have a great 4th. Thank you again for your call. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Before we take a break here, hey, you know, it is absolutely fine if somebody wants to have a small percentage. And the reason for the overall negativity is it's not usually what people do. It really isn't. It's one or the other. I have a bunch of it. The biggest problem with gold, whatever the amount is, any precious metal, any commodity, is it generates absolutely nothing, thus making it a very expensive insurance policy. No dividends, nothing. Nothing at all. And the long-term price appreciation is horrible. Our number is 580-KIDO. We'll be right back after Fox News.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. On 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello and happy 4th of July. I hope everybody is having a great day and great weekend. Yeah, I know it's kind of a slow time. I love how Kevin Miller always talks about, you know, in the summer it all shutting down out there. And it does to a degree, I know. Everything's slower, and there's no question that things are slow on Wall Street, except for those few things, right, that pop up. And here we go. We've got Greece. We've got China. We've got, of course, jobs news as well. Hey, listen, I want to go ahead and take an email here that just came in actually a couple of weeks ago, and I just wanted to go ahead and read it. It was too late to get to a couple of weeks ago. So, Frank, thank you for sending it in. But listening from afar and can't call in, if an income-producing stock pays a dividend, isn't the NAV of the stock reduced by the amount of the dividend? NAV, let's go ahead and explain that so we can follow along here. NAV, meaning the net asset value of the stock. So if the stock that's trading at $10 pays 25 cents, say, this quarter, which is 2.5%, very nice, would be a very high dividend, but anyway, it pays 25 cents just for illustration, then wouldn't it open trading at $9.75 net of the dividend? And the answer is yes, it would, okay? If so, isn't there no change in the overall value of an individual's holdings? At that moment, yes. Is the key to investing in income-producing stocks that these types of stocks tend to appreciate faster even after paying a dividend? Boom, you hit it, Frank. It's very good. Now, well, let's come back to that because I want to read number two here. I enjoy your passion. The previous caller didn't appreciate yours. One of my thoughts concerning reaching financial success is to have a job that you have passion about. Boy, do I ever agree with that. You clearly have that and don't apologize for it. Frank, thank you, and I appreciate that very much. And, yeah, I know, and my passion does get me in trouble sometimes. There's no question about that. You know, there's no question that I try to tamp it down sometimes, but it just kind of comes up. I guess it's kind of sometimes part of who we are, and I am. I love what I do. It gives me purpose in life, and I appreciate that, and I agree with you totally. If you do not have a job that you have passion about, I'm just sorry. That's too bad. And having financial success if you don't have a job that you enjoy is a very difficult road. Now, let's go back to the dividend. Let's go back to that because it's important to understand. What are we looking for when we're looking at dividends? There's two things to think about. What everybody focuses on is something like, I see this one's paying 10%, which in this world is extremely high, or 8. Let's make it 8, 7, whatever. It pays much higher than, say, other companies. Anything else on the planet should be screaming to you what? Danger, danger, danger. That's exactly what it should scream. Now, if you can identify and know what the danger is and accept that it's okay because you think the market has overreacted to it, meaning bid the prices down, then, of course, sometimes, occasionally, a high dividend-paying stock can work out. Most of the time, they do not. The market is correct in its assessment. And what I mean by correct is they knock the prices down, giving that dividend, making that dividend really high, okay, which is telling you danger, danger, danger. Don't gravitate towards the high dividend payers. Gravitate from. There's something wrong, and the market is screaming at it that if something is wrong. Now, what we're really looking for are companies that are growing very quickly. So when they do pay out, and let's do something, a more normal number on a $10 stock, right? Okay? So let's say that the quarterly dividend is, you know, 8 cents. So it opens trading 8 cents lower, and it does. And then, of course, it'll trade maybe a dime every day anyway. So it's up or down, not necessarily because it paid the dividend, although right around X dividend dates, you will see some movement in some stocks because people are trying to capture that dividend. There's no doubt about that happens. Nothing wrong with that. That's simple trading, and it's very minor moves. But for you to go buy it, you're absolutely right. You can't come in and say, I want to buy that stock, capture the dividend, and walk away the next day with knowledge that nothing has changed. It quite probably will reflect the fact that the dividend has been paid. Short term. question is the company growing more rapidly than the dividend that it's paying? If it is, then over time it actually continues to increase the dividend. So what I'm saying is, for me, that I want on dividend payers are dividend increasers, serial dividend increasers. Do they increase year after year the dividend, decade after decade? Do I need them to increase every single year? No, that's preference. But are they increasing most years and this over long periods of time? And is the outlook good? And then finally, here's the other piece. This is very important. Are they paying out a high percentage of what their earnings are in the form of a dividend? Or is it a lower percentage? Right? So if you have a company that's paying a decent dividend, a small, maybe it's small, but they've been growing it, okay, so they're like checking off the boxes here. Solid company, great balance sheet, seems to be very shareholder friendly. Maybe even buying back a little bit of stock, certainly not growing the number of shares out there. Stuff like that. Well run, profits growing, seems like a good path going forward. And they've been raising their dividend. And then you look at it and you go, you know, they're paying out about 30% a year. Okay, that's called a payout ratio, 30% of their earnings a year in a dividend. That's okay. But then you might flip it over and look at something like a utility. Oh, I really like utility. Everybody has to turn the lights on, blah, 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 right? Like that. And gosh, look at this. Look at this. Idaho Power pays out, you know, like 4.5% in the dividend. Wow, that's awesome. That's great. Well, isn't that great? No, they never raise their dividend, ever. That represents nearly 100%, in some years, 100%. Of all of their earnings. What room is there? What safe margin of safety do I have to my dividend? Number one. Number two, is there any possibility of my dividend being raised if all of the profits they make are paid out now? Nothing's kept for growth. So what we're looking for are low payout ratios. If we can, the perfect stock. They're a category killer. Great branding. Great investor relations. And they raise their dividends over time, low out payout ratios, and they're growing their dividends over time. The perfect income stock is not a stock with a high dividend that pays out all of their income with nothing to grow in the future. Frank, thank you so much. Great question. I really appreciate that. If you have other questions, that's dave@petsofinancial.net. You can also go to our website anytime. Lots of podcasts there. So you miss one of the programs. For example, Dr. Spitzky is going to be on the next hour. I know. It's not finance. It's men's health. Guys, we don't talk about this stuff. How do I know? Because I learn all the time, and he's my buddy, and I'm still learning. We don't talk about this stuff. And when I talk to guys, and they want to know stuff, I don't have all the answers, but it's stunning what we all think and how far off base we really are. So be sure to tune in the next hour. Right now we are live and it's 580-KIDO. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzel. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. It's Money Matters with Dave Petzel on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and happy 4th of July. Wow, it's just one of those things. You know, I was up here in McCall last 4th of July, just like this one. If I guess it's something I certainly enjoy. But it is stunning. It is so amazing how busy it gets up here as we all kind of just go into the hills and try to cool down, no doubt about it. So I know many, many people are out of town doing various things with family, and that's awesome. That's what the summer is all about, isn't it? And I hope that's exactly what you're doing, whether you're in town or out of town or heading out. And our number is 580-KIDO. Again, in the second hour, we've got Dr. Don Skritsky is going to be talking men's health. This is one we recorded about 8 days ago, 9 days ago. I know we ran it last week. We're going to run it again. And that the part of the reason why is because this is so very important. It's so important because, you know, and here's a stunning statistic, guys, okay? more men die of prostate cancer than breast cancer. Not men, I mean more people die of prostate cancer than breast cancer. So, we talk a lot about it, but the reality is we're not taking care of it. We're not taking care of it, and a lot of it is preventable. All right. Now, when we talk about what's going on with Greece and all the machinations, all the concerns, I think in part it boils down to this. It's been going on a long time. It's been broadcast. It's been forecast. I don't think it's going to be a big deal. I think it's going to be a little deal. But everybody needs to talk about it. It's in the news. Whether it is, comes out over the weekend, the referendum, it's a mess anyway. This isn't easy. This is a country that's been falling apart for quite some time. I don't know when they've ever had their act together, frankly. I really don't. They were communists, then they're not. They're in debt. They're further in debt. They're further in debt. Further in debt. They retire people when they're 50 years old. Of course socialism doesn't work. It works great until you run out of people to pay for it. That's what they've done. It's a mess. It isn't going to clear itself up right away. But if it leaves the union, all of the pundits out there that were all negative about it look to be wrong. It isn't a contagion type event. It will cause disruptions in the market, but so does a hedge fund getting out of a trade. So does Puerto Rico when it occasionally talks about all the debt it has. Like, people are shocked. Oh, how weird that Puerto Rican debt has a problem being paid. How weird is it in California with all the pension problems and the fact that they won't reform anything? They tax everybody to death so all the businesses leave. Weird that there might be some fiscal problems there. And Illinois, oh, that's just shocking. These things go on and on and on, decade after decade. It's not shocking. It doesn't mean it's contagion. It doesn't mean that the whole United States is destined for the same thing. Not at all. Not at all. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. I'd appreciate a phone call. You can certainly email us, dave@petsofinancial.net. I'm going to take our final break. Leave us plenty of time for some final thoughts or hopefully a question from you. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petso. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. Money Matters with Dave Petso on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello, welcome, and thanks for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. Hey, we're kind of wrapping up here today, and I have an email, and I thought it was a good thing to talk about. So in general, rather than reading the whole email, let me just say this, and Dave, thank you so much, and I really appreciate our listeners for either their encouragement and also just the encouragement of the conversation, right? A different angle, a different point. That's so good for the conversation, for deepening our whole thought. And so I appreciate that very much, Dave. Anyway, the point is this, as I've been talking about, this was, the recording, and you're welcome to go to our website anytime. We've got podcasts there. But the podcast there from last week's program and talking about defining success as rich or poor. And understand, and I do want to make sure that this is very clear, there is a bigger definition out there, much bigger. And as I mentioned in the last few weeks, as we've been going through this whole thought process of our habits and making those habits intentional, what are we intentionally doing or not doing? You know, but we're always doing something. Let me rephrase that. What are we doing intentionally to have good habits, or are we unintentionally leaning towards bad habits, right? And I have to go with this rich and poor in the sense that that's where these numbers were coming from, as a simple definition between the rich and the poor. And I prefer what you're saying, Dave, totally, and that's this. How about successful and not successful? Because you can not feel like you are rich because you're not, the rest of your life maybe is a mess, right? Right? You're not contented. Or no matter how much you have, it's not enough. It's because you're not contented. And people make jokes about that, but I don't really think that that's, I think it's a problem for people, right? How much do you want? A little more. that's funny. Yeah, but it can also be a really serious problem for us. And I think your point is very well taken, which is this. I think we should define success as instead of rich and poor, as successful and not successful, as defined by the individual and what they're after in life. And I agree. Happiness, content with what we have. Little or none. Lots or plenty, right? Are we content? I think that is the bottom line issue. But as we're trying to define it, or help ourselves try to get to a place in life where we are more successful, if you will, and we can do the things that we want to do, that we wish we could do. I think it's a wonderful thing to try to find out what those habits are, explore the things that we can be doing to be more proactive. And of course, most of the things are really logical, aren't they? And the last few times that I've been thinking about this, and or the last few shows that I've been thinking about this in a broader sense than, you know, defining just what those habits are, right? Poor people, if you will, unsuccessful people play the lottery. 80% of them do. Less than 10% of people with money, successful people, play the lottery. But more important to me are the things like, are we thinking forward? Do we spend our time figuring out what's wrong, reading blog and blog and blog and blog about why I should be buying, you know, generators, dehydrated food, because our end is coming. We're going to get what we've got coming. Is that the world I want to live in? Is that how I think about, I want to expand, I want my kids to get an education. I can't wait. My little grandbaby is growing up and going to school and getting an education and growing. Do I think like that? Or do I just sit around like a miserable fool and talk about everything that's wrong? Right? That's what I mean about that. That's, to me, is the deeper thought that we all want to have about what we are intentionally doing with our time and our thoughts. And are we thinking forward? Are we planning for the future? Not just Pollyanna future. But the reality is the world isn't bad at all, and progress has been amazing. Let's not miss that. Happy 4th.
Hello and welcome to Money Matters. This is a special edition. I'm going to call it our annual men's health program because we did one last year. And my good friend here, Dr. Don Stritsky, we've known each other for well over 20 years now and a crazy amount of time, and has agreed to come in and as a board-certified urologist talk about men's health. And it's a bigger question than just what you deal with all the time, but when people say men's health, they kind of say that part of men, right?
Absolutely, yes. Good morning, Dave.
And good morning. Thank you. And thanks again for coming in. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And you've been out there with, you're now with St. Luke's.
Uh-huh.
Out at Caldwell Urology.
Yes.
And have been in practice out in Caldwell for?
25 years.
25 years.
Yes. And affiliated with St. Luke's for a little over 5 years.
Great. Mm-hmm. Great. Good. Well, let's jump in. And by the way, I have to mention this will be out on our website. We'll probably link it up where right next to where the other one, last year's was. So if you missed it, some of the basic things, you can go back and listen to it again. I actually did today to kind of refresh on what we talked about last year. But let's go ahead and dive into this, all right? So what is the big deal about men's health? What are we talking about in general, and why is this so important?
There's a new awareness and a new push in our society to try and encourage men to address health issues in a more timely fashion. So it's not just urologic things, but it's overall health. So June has actually been designated as Men's Health Awareness Month. And some of the reasons these are important is that, in general, men tend to live 5 years less than women. So they typically live an average life expectancy for a man is 77 and a half years. For women, it's 82 and a half. For men, they have a higher death rate for cancer, heart disease, diabetes, and suicide than women. Hmm. So these are all things that some of them are preventable.
Yep.
Many of them are treatable if they're recognized in a timely fashion and treatment is started early. So a lot of the reasons that men are dying at a younger age can be addressed and improved so their longevity can improve.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes,
in
please.
Regards to that,
yeah.
On the longevity, because that brings up a fascinating, in my mind, it's fascinating. If we solve some of those earlier diagnosis problems, are you saying that men might be able to live nearly as long or as long as women?
Nearly as long.
Okay.
Maybe not quite as long, but much closer.
Right.
And some of the things that they're suffering with, like dying from metastatic cancer, some of those things can be avoided.
Right, right. Good. So now with the men's health, you say it's a bigger question. So what are you trying to get across to people? At age 50, you need to go in for this and that, that type of thing?
It really varies for different problems and starting at different ages. And I think before we even get into that, we should talk about why men don't go to the doctor to begin with.
Yeah.
Whatever age that is, they are very reluctant to go. And women have a completely different attitude, and it's really kind of an interesting phenomenon. Part of it has to do with boys as they grow up. We are all taught, you need to be tough. And if something hurts or something, you're supposed to kind of suck it up and make the best of it and move on. And that's what we have been taught since childhood. And this is what happened in my household, and I'll give you an example. When our son Logan was a teenager, he and I were in a swimming pool, and he swam up behind me and grabbed me and was going to dunk me. And I reached around and grabbed him by the neck and flipped him over and dunked him a couple of times. And when he came up out of the water, he goes, "Dad," he goes, "my neck kind of hurts." I said, "Ah, Logan, you'll be all right. Don't worry about it." And he kind of had a crank in his neck, and we really didn't discuss it until a year and a half later when he was playing high school football, and he weighed about 145 or 150 pounds, and he was tackling running backs that were 180 to 200 pounds. And he came home, and he goes, "Dad, my neck still hurts." And I said, "Oh, this is a year and a half later.
Yeah.
Maybe we better check that." So we take him in, we get an x-ray. Sure enough, it looks like there's a fracture in his neck.
Wow.
So I have a buddy who is a pediatric urologist at a big pediatric hospital. I sent Logan's x-rays to him because there was a pretty famous pediatric neurosurgeon on staff. And he looked at Logan's x-ray and he said, "No, in fact, there are actually three broken bones. They're all stable. He doesn't need surgery. He can go ahead with life." But my point is, here's my own son
right.
who's had a neck injury for a year and a half, and it was not addressed for a year and a half because I told him to suck it up and be tough. That's part of the mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Along with that, the men often don't see going to the doctor's office as a good use of their time because, first of all, it may take months to get in for your appointment.
Right.
Then, when you finally get in, appointments are often late. They are expensive. On top of that, you may be missing work. That's expensive. And then kind of the sense is many times a man will walk away from an appointment and say, you know what, they told me what I already knew, and I had to pay them money for that. And so so there's kind of that mentality. Men, as opposed to women, tend to be reactive in their health care. So what I mean by that is they don't go to the doctor until they have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And until that problem is really bothering them, that's when they finally go in. Women have a completely different attitude. So when women, after they go through puberty, they're often going into an OBGYN physician and having exams, and maybe they're having problems with irregular menses or things like that. So they start at a young age having female exams. And then it's not too long, and they're having children, so they're going in for prenatal exams. They're having appointments all the time. Then they have a child. They're taking their child in for well baby checks and immunizations. And not only that, you go beyond that, but it's often women who are taking their elderly parents in for appointments. So women are very in tune with health care, and they start at a young age, and they have an understanding of what prevention is about, like with prenatal appointments. That's not the case for men.
Right.
So there are many reasons why men simply don't get in touch with the healthcare system.
Right, right. Yeah, until something's wrong, why bother?
Right.
Right.
And even when something's wrong, then men are terrible about going in. And a perfect example is I saw a gentleman this week who came in, and his one testicle was twice the size of the other one. He knew there had been a problem for 6 months. It had been growing for 6 months. The texture was much different in the abnormal testicle. It was much harder. Well, he had testicular cancer, and he had known something had been wrong for 6 months before he finally came in to be checked. That is typical men's behavior.
Yeah.
This is the type of thing that we're trying to address and call attention to and improve.
Right. Well, that's a great point. That's a great point. Because we know it's not like perfectly uniform, but something's wrong, you know it's wrong.
You have a sense that something's wrong, and by the time a testicle's twice the size of the other.
It's not slightly bigger, it's twice the size.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. That's too bad. That's too bad. So what that we do that now when we start getting older. What? Okay, let's say I haven't had any issues. You get to 50, and I think that was kind of the magic time for the colonoscopy and the start of checking your prostate regularly.
Okay,
is that right?
Partially right.
Okay.
So even as teenagers and when people are in their 20s. They need to be aware of their skin. They need to be aware of changes. So that's something they should be monitoring every month or two, even in your 20s. For young men, after they're beyond age 15, after they're going through puberty, it's recommended that they do a self-exam on their testicles once a month. Now, most young men are doing it on a daily basis. But the recommendations are once a month. So there are things that start at younger ages. Cholesterol.
That brings up an interesting.
Yes, please.
What am I looking for?
Okay. That's a great question. So you're looking for a change.
Okay.
If there's suddenly an area that is becoming larger, if the texture is changing, if that area is harder, you're looking for a change. You're looking for asymmetry. One side starts to be different than the other side. So those
change.
Change, exactly.
Okay. All right. Anything else? I mean, if I would suspect if I had pain or anything like that, I need to be.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That goes along with change. If there's something different like pain, swelling, burning, all of those things, if there are changes like that, they should be checked.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So as we go back to ages, it's actually recommended that men and women have their blood pressures checked first at 18, and then it should be followed every few years.
Can you just use the machine at the store?
It's a good guideline.
Okay.
So it's a good place to start.
If you don't seem to have a problem,
right,
then you can just pop over there and check it once in a while.
That's not a bad idea.
Okay.
And then if something's really out of line or concerning, you can follow up with that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good guideline. The cholesterol, it's recommended that you start having that checked when you're 35 years old, and you do it every couple of years. And then when you're 50, you start doing it once a year.
Okay.
Blood sugars, diabetes, you start at age 45. You check it every 3 years. If there's a history of, if you have high blood pressure, you may have to follow it more closely. Then along with these things and are the genetics and family history. So if there are issues, if diabetes runs in the family, if there are issues with high cholesterol levels, then some of these things need to be checked at a younger age, and that's tailored to that individual and their family history.
Gotcha. Now, is it diabetes that, taking off on that a little bit, when you say it runs in the family, mm-hmm. are we talking about one parent has diabetes, not juvenile, later onset type of thing? Is that something then that needs to be monitored greatly? Or I think the obvious would be that both parents and they died young and, you know, that kind of thing.
Sure.
But when you say run in a family of any type of thing like that, male or female, are we talking about one incidence or not?
It can be either parent. It can be a sibling. And it doesn't mean that you have to be checked every 6 months or something, but it may mean that it's especially important to be diligent and be checked at least once a year.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. All right. Now, so as we're going, go ahead and keep going. Because you were going through the ages.
So for men with their prostate, they should probably be discussing prostate issues and concerns with a physician at around age 40. That's when they should have their first discussion.
Okay.
And there's been some confusion about prostate cancer screening. So now instead of just going in and having an exam and having the PSA blood test, men are encouraged to actually sit down and have a conversation with their healthcare provider about what the benefits of screening may be and what the risks may be, so they're making more of an informed decision about whether they want to proceed with that. So we're encouraging men to have that discussion at age 40. And then if things are fairly stable, they may be checked every couple of years through their 40s. For men in their 50s, they should be checked yearly.
Both exams or
yes.
A blood test and an exam?
Correct. So it's the blood test is called PSA or prostate specific antigen. That is a protein that is released from the prostate into the blood. It gives us an idea how healthy the prostate is. So if the prostate is growing large, the number can be higher. If there's infection in the prostate, the number can be higher. If cancer's in the prostate and growing and active, the PSA test will usually be high.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the confusion with PSA is you'll hear in the media or something that, well, somebody can have a high PSA and they don't have cancer, so it's a bad test. Or they can have a low PSA and they do have cancer, so it's a bad test. Well, the fact is PSA is not perfect for cancer. We have known that from the beginning,
right?
But it's a good guideline. It's a helpful guideline. It's still the best test we have, along with the rectal exam, which is a finger in the rectum, feeling the texture of the prostate and feeling for any nodules.
Now, if I remember right in regards to this, isn't it really the change in the PSA that you're looking for once you establish a baseline and that? It's not so much whether it's high or low, it's that it's changing.
There are two things that we look for, and you are correct in that. First of all, number one is the number in the normal range or not, and there are age-specific ranges. So, and after you've established that and you do have an established baseline, yes, then the thing that's especially important is how the PSA may be changing.
Okay, gotcha. Good. So then past that, are there other things that start to kind of come on that we should be?
Yes.
Yes.
So at age 50, colonoscopy, and for both men and women. And it's recommended that the colonoscopy be done once every 10 years, starting at age 50. But if there's an abnormality, if polyps were removed, then they may change that to every 5 years. If there's a family history of colon cancer, and there can be, and that can run in families, then those individuals should be checked more often.
Good, good. And then after that, I don't know that it's just more of the same, isn't it?
Exactly.
Keep testing?
That's right.
Okay, let's talk about something, though, that's also out there that people don't do. I just had a shingle shot.
Yes.
And that was something because you said, go get them.
The shingles vaccination is recommended for men and women over the age of 60. And insurances will help cover that. I chose to have the vaccination in my 50s. Shingles can be debilitating. There are people who have to be hospitalized because of pain and neurologic issues with shingles. So it can be a really serious health issue, and it's preventable and avoidable if you have the vaccination. So especially as men and women get into their 60s, they need to have that discussion with their physician because it's a really good idea.
Right. Why do people not do that?
I'm not sure that I can really answer that.
I
can't
imagine bringing a kid into the world and saying, no big deal. We'll take our risks on polio. I went and saw my grandkid, and again, we have so many shots, and the assumption is you would be neglectful if you didn't.
Right. And being part of the healthcare society, that's the way I see it. I think it's I would certainly want to have my children vaccinated. I think that's the safest. I think that's the best for our society.
Mm-hmm.
But some people are have their own personal views and are opposed to that. And similarly, there will be those who just say, I just don't want to have that vaccination.
Right, right. That was one that surprised me at a younger age. But it was interesting, and maybe you can, before we go to a break here, comment on this. The younger you get a vaccination, the more effective it is, because your own antibodies are stronger when you're younger. It was what the pharmacist said, that they thought that this would change and be covered by insurance. not just at age 60, because you really should get it younger. It has more effect.
There, yes, it is true that the immune system tends to be stronger at a younger age than in the elderly. And at some point, it's quite possible that they will offer that.
This is the 5-minute news.
At a younger age.
Right. But there isn't any, it's not like it wears off, so.
There are some that over time you need to have boosters for, like tetanus. So some of them do kind of, the intensity kind of tapers down, so you have to reinforce that and have a booster for some. I'm not aware of that being the case for shingles, though. I'm not sure.
Right. Good. All right, Dr. Stritsky is with us. He is a board-certified urologist. We're talking men's health. This is our annual men's health program, and we'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzel. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. It's Money Matters with Dave Petzel on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello and welcome back to Money Matters. This is a special edition, of course. This is our annual men's health special. And we're all privileged here to be hearing from a board-certified specialist urologist, Dr. Don Stritsky, who's just truly a great person, but he's also a great doctor. So thank you for coming in. Appreciate that.
You bet, Dave. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, this is great, great stuff. And we are going to get, for those of you who want to talk about erections and Viagra and stuff, we're going to talk about all that stuff here coming up, but we want to lay out some things here in general. And also, as kind of for those ladies out there that are driving around or listening with their husbands, I'll tell you, I have a whole list of questions that come specifically from the women in my office as well as some women outside the office that they want to know about their men. And so we're going to hit that up in the second half. But right now, I want to kind of get some other comments, some general comments from you as we kind of wrap up the overall when men go in, and what's some general health comments from you?
One thing is that, in general, men don't plan to prepare or take care of themselves in a health-conscious fashion. And what I mean is we plan for retirement, and we plan for financial things, just like this radio show.
Mm-hmm.
We plan for our careers. We organize and structure things for our careers. We plan for our family. How many children do we want? How do we want them to be educated? We plan and organize for all of those things, but in general, we don't plan for our health. We just kind of leave that to chance.
Right.
And it's at a time where we need to take that more seriously. Men need to make their health a priority, and they need to start planning for that as well. And so there are obvious things right off the bat that we all know, like weight control, like not smoking, like alcohol in moderation, which may mean one or two alcoholic beverages in an evening or something, but in moderation.
Mm-hmm.
The adequate sleep. And it's recommended that men and women should get 7 or 8 hours a night to be healthy. And then exercise, which means 3 times a week, some cardio workout, some weights. You can get involved with a gym or a trainer or somebody who can give you a program, or it could be getting out and walking. But some activities, those are things that men need to start taking more seriously and structure into their lives.
Mm-hmm. Being intentional about their health.
That's exactly the point.
Yeah.
And then if things do happen, if there's something that changes, they need to be quick in responding to that and seeking help. So if there's a change in bladder or bowel habits, so if all of a sudden you're having more problems with constipation or diarrhea, or all of a sudden you're seeing blood in the urine, or you're going to the bathroom a lot more often, you should have those checked. You should go in and have a checkup. If there are issues where erections are changing, somebody's having problems with chronic backache, skin lesions, moles that are changing color, those types of things, you need to go in and have an appointment and see a healthcare provider to discuss. Don't put that off for 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I have to plead guilty here the last couple of months. I've got the dentist office calling me because I don't do the 6 month thing, but you know, sometime less than 2 years I should be in. And I've got the dentist phone number. When I find time to call, I've got to get out for my annual blood test at the very least, so I can't even get out and get an appointment with you. I got that written down, so I have to plead guilty there myself. It's just easy enough to put off.
I do the same thing with the dentist. Every time I go in, they say, and I get ready to check out, and the secretary looks at the calendar, and she says, okay, 6 months is such a date. And I say, no, I'll be back in a year.
Yeah.
It happens routinely every time I go in.
That's right. But I need to actually go make that 1 year
yes.
appointment.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly,
yes.
Exactly. So it does. It is one of those things that is easy enough to put off. And then when you said that before, I thought that was very interesting. That women they don't put it off.
They
These
don't.
Are things that should be. That it's on the calendar. It's scheduled. They go do it.
Right. Right.
So I guess I'm pretty guy-like on that too. Although I don't. I at least eventually get it done.
Good.
Eventually.
And, you know, there are a couple of just additional comments on that, is that staying healthy is not luck. It takes some discipline. It takes some hard work. And good health doesn't come in a bottle. It's not another vitamin. It's not another supplement. It's not another pill from the doctor. Yes, a vitamin can be helpful. That's okay. But that's not going to make you healthy. That's not going to replace good habits and exercise.
Yeah. Good point. Good point. You can't pill away all of our bad habits, can you?
Nope.
All right, we've got to take a quick break here. Again, we're listening with Dr. Don Stritsky here to Amends Health. And coming up next, we're going to talk about some of the questions that women want to know about their guys. We'll be right back.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436, Idaho's place to talk. This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello and welcome back, and thanks for joining us. Again, a special edition here with my good friend just a great person, great doctor, Dr. Don Stritsky, who is a board-certified urologist, a bit like the busiest doctor in the Northwest. No joke. People literally do come in from around the country to see you. I know they do. But you're a very humble person and don't talk about it. So I know they do. I know how lucky the people in Canyon County are to have a doctor of your caliber. They really are.
It's a win-win. It's a great community, and we're very happy to be there.
It's amazing. We got to know each other just when you first came to town, and how changing from the Seattle-Tacoma area and coming back to your home.
Yes.
Was a challenge.
Yes.
But an incredibly positive change, too.
It's been great.
Yeah, yeah. All right, enough of that. They're not here for the background here. They're here to find out about... So let me throw out a couple things, and you can pick what you want, okay?
Please.
But these are some questions that the ladies have been asking about it. Is male menopause real or not?
There is some reality to male menopause.
Okay.
And right now, there's a lot of confusion about what that really, truly means. So there's no question that... over time, testosterone levels for men can drop to some extent. At what point that might need to be treated or how closely that needs to be followed is very unclear. There's a lot of confusion about that. So the point is, if somebody's testosterone is truly very low, rock bottom, if we give them testosterone replacement, which might be a lotion that they apply or shots, and boost that back up towards the normal range, mm-hmm. It can make a huge difference for them.
Okay.
So there are exceptions where it can be a big deal for some men. But in general, male menopause, it's a mild change, but sometimes it's exaggerated.
Okay. Is it, like for me, I'd say, I don't sleep as well as I used to.
Mm-hmm.
That's a function of getting old. If I want to call it menopause or put a label on it, I guess I could.
Exactly.
But I don't have hot flashes and things. Do men get those from time to time?
They really don't.
Okay.
So if they're the exception where all of a sudden their testosterone
So we're
drops.
Just putting a label typically on something that could be normal, or you might have a testosterone issue. That's really not a menopause thing.
There are exceptions where the testosterone can be a problem, but in general, a lot of male menopause is kind of the normal aging process.
Gotcha. Okay. Let's dive into the testosterone,
right.
Okay? Because that's guys or ladies, I know everybody, you can't get away from the TV. You can't get away from the TV that doesn't have this thing called like a willow curve, which is flashing lights nonsense. That's going to somehow heal your knee. Now we've got testosterone treatments, and it's okay because, it's a special herb. You know, it's from Mother Earth, so it must be okay. You can't get away from this nonsense, and so it brings up questions. Is testosterone a fountain of youth for men?
Testosterone is advertised aggressively, and men are looking for a fountain of youth, or many of us are. And you want to feel like you did when you were 20 years old, and that's how it's marketed. But the truth is, the majority of men, their testosterone levels are adequate, and giving them more testosterone can be dangerous. It can cause the blood to be too thick. You can have a heart attack or a stroke. It can damage the liver. So it's just not as simple as saying, okay, I'm just going to give more testosterone, and you're going to feel better. For the majority of men, their testosterones are already adequate, and more is not better. It can be dangerous.
Mm. All right. Okay, but let's... I want to be 20, man. Who doesn't want to be 20? I want to be 20 again,
yes.
Okay, with the brains of a 50-something-year-old. Yes. This sounds rocking awesome to me, okay? How dangerous is this?
It is quite dangerous.
Okay.
So it is not something to take lightly. And the truth is, most men don't need extra testosterone. And unfortunately, as I mentioned earlier, it's more of a marketing thing. And interestingly, right. Pharmaceuticals can advertise their products in the United States and New Zealand. The big push for testosterone use is in the United States and New Zealand. If you're in England, if you're in Europe, there's very little testosterone replacement done.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting. And they're probably doing just fine.
They're doing great.
Yeah. That is very interesting. So the United States is obsessed with the Fountain of Youth, and
yes.
Europe is okay with it.
They don't have it pushed in their face every day like we do.
Now, you bring up an interesting point. Let's talk about that for a moment, about the fact that you can't just go out there and prescribe it because somebody says, hey, I want to feel 25. I don't care what the side effects are.
Right.
I mean, that'd be malpractice.
Absolutely.
So you can't do that. But I can go on TV and advertise all day long for something that has not been thoroughly vetted at all, called herbs or natural replacement or whatever it is. Isn't that incredibly dangerous?
Yes, it is. There's limited regulation. You don't know for sure what the ingredients are. You don't know what the doses are. It's kind of a random hope and wild thing that there's just no control over. And I do believe that some people feel that there's benefit, and some of it may be placebo, some not. But we really don't have the studies or the control to really understand what it's doing or how. And in medicine, we want to think that we are doing things scientifically,
mm-hmm.
so that we know why something is helping, and so we can follow through with that. It's just not we hope it will, or somebody's grandmother said it helped them when they tried it.
Right.
We want to have some data, some honest data that tells us, yes, this is helping. This is what the statistics are.
Blind tests, placebos,
right.
Along with everything. Right.
Exactly.
Yep. Yep.
Which
yep.
we don't have with a lot of herbs and vitamins.
But they do and can have very powerful effects, can they not?
They can. And the question is how much of that is from placebo and otherwise. And I think the bottom line is there's a lot that we simply don't understand.
Right.
We just don't understand. So I wouldn't say that they're all washed up and they're all bad, because I don't think that's the case at all. I just don't think we really understand a lot of them very well.
And it's not regulated, so you don't really know what you're getting.
Right.
Any more than going to Mexico and you buy a little blue pill from a guy on a street vendor because it's only 50 cents.
Right.
It probably isn't made by Pfizer. Anyway, okay, all right. So now let's dive into the new... you know what? Here's. I'm going to change directions here, and I do want to do a kind of a bang bang thing.
Sure.
We need to take our final break.
Okay.
So let's do that and get it out of the way, and then when we come back, I want to talk about the new female Viagra, supposedly.
Yes.
And I know that makes your eyes roll because that's not what it is. I know, but we're going to let you comment about that.
Okay.
And joint pain, things like that. Women also, what if they're dry? I mean, are there some treatments for vaginal dryness, things like that? That you know, we've focused on men, but it's also, there are, as I mentioned, there's some female questions we want to touch on too. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with Dr. Stritsky in a moment.
This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo. Dave is taking calls right now. Call 580-5436. Idaho's place to talk. This is Money Matters with Dave Petzo on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Hello and welcome back to this special edition of Money Matters or Men's Health, what have you. But we like to do this once a year. I like to do it. I learn, even though Dr. Stritsky I've known for 25 years here, but we're privileged to have you here. Again, thank you for taking the time to come in.
Thank you.
This is just a fantastic service. It really is. Now, I want to let's go to. There's several different questions here that I really want to kind of like chip through. I know it's not going to be a thorough, full blown answer, But I kind of want to get through some of these. But first, let's go back to, is there something that men can do? You know, there's so much stuff out there, the herbs and the this, and the you do this special diet, you take this green stuff over here, and you're going to be, you know, more youthful and, you know, feel more vigorous.
Yes.
Is there anything men can do? I know, like, as an example, women can take need to take calcium or extra calcium, right? Do men do anything?
Right. You know, really, it's probably worthwhile taking a balanced multivitamin once a day. Whether it's one a day, whether it's Centrum, any of those, a one-a-day vitamin would be reasonable. There is some interest right now in vitamin D that may have several benefits, and so there's some early studies supporting that. The jury is still kind of out on that. There's a lot that we need to learn about that, but possibly vitamin D, and the recommendations are for, I believe, men and women over 50. I think it's 800 units of vitamin D that's presently recommended.
Okay.
But again, that's still that's kind of an evolving thing.
Mm-hmm.
But other than a multivitamin and vitamin D, there's nothing else in particular that a man should really be taking. So along with that, you know, watch your diet and exercise.
Okay. Tell us what happens. What does a prostate do, just in general? I mean, I know this is a big question, if you could, but, you know, if I have my prostate taken out, can I have sex again?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So the prostate, to begin with, is a gland that is below the bladder, and the urine channel that comes out through the penis and drains the urine from the bladder is called the urethra. The urethra goes right through the middle of the prostate gland, just like the hole through the middle of a donut. So the function of the prostate gland is to make fluid that comes out with ejaculation that helps the sperm survive after ejaculation. That's the one function of the prostate.
That's it.
That's it.
That's not where I get my testosterone.
Nope.
That's not where I feel like a man. That's not.
Nope.
That,
none really. Of those. Testosterone comes from the testicles, and it goes straight from the testicles into the blood. So the prostate has nothing to do with testosterone. And in fact, when a man has an ejaculation, it's like 95% of the volume he ejaculates is from the prostate. The other 5% is fluid from the testicle that contains the sperm, and then they mix with the ejaculation. So if a man's had a vasectomy, he doesn't have sperm anymore with his ejaculate. He has fluid from his prostate, and he probably won't even notice a change in that volume after a vasectomy because it's all that prostate fluid. So as men get into their 40s and 50s and 60s, the prostate is growing. It can start to pinch the urethra channel closed. Some men will have problems urinating. They may take medication for that. They may need to have surgery for that. Those are normal changes. And men will come in and say, you know, they'll be 65 years old, and they'll say, well, why is this happening? And I tell them, you know, it's about the same reason why we're both wearing glasses and our hair color is changing. I mean, we're not 20 years old anymore. These
right.
things are happening.
That's what's going to happen. And it'll
right.
happen to all of us. It's a different severity, but it happens to all of us.
Right. And some men need treatment. Some men need surgery. Some men never need it.
Now, see, this to me, it seems so uncomplicated when you talk about it. And yet, see, in society, we make such a big fuss over it that I think this is one of the reasons that men don't seek treatment early, because they're afraid they never will have sex again, that they won't
right.
be normal, they won't feel like men.
Right. So if a man needs treatment or surgery because the bladder is blocked, that should not affect sexual function as far as libido and sex drive, as far as erections. Ejaculation may change a little bit if you're on medicine or you've had surgery. It's a kind of a bizarre thing. With a normal ejaculation, the fluid goes through the prostate, out through the penis. If a man's on some of the medicines for his prostate, or he's had prostate surgery because he was having troubles urinating,
mm-hmm.
then with ejaculation, it actually may go backwards into the bladder. He'll have the sensation of ejaculation, but no fluid comes out. Then it mixes with the urine. The next time you urinate, it passes with the urine. It does not cause infection or cancer. It's not dangerous, but it is a change that I try to warn men when they're on treatment that could happen.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Human body is fascinating.
And I tell patients, like, if I'm going to do the surgery, and open their prostate. And I explained to them, you know, you can have retrograde ejaculation, and you probably will for the rest of your life. And I tell them, you know, this really isn't a big deal unless you're planning to have more children. And about that time, their wife usually starts laughing and says, he'll have to get a new wife if he's going to do that.
That's right. That's great. Do most men go in with their partners to see
you? Probably half.
Have to?
And that's because the women kind of demand to be there.
Uh-huh.
And as we spoke earlier, women are much more engaged with health care. So it is not unusual when I'm seeing a man in the clinic and I'll ask him if he's taking his medication like Flomax or something.
Yep.
And he'll say, I don't know. And he turns to his wife and he says, she gives me all my pills. What are you giving me?
That's funny. That's funny. Now, I would assume you think that you would encourage that, that spouses
I think
be
great.
Involved in the treatment.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, are there things out there floating around on the internet that are just beyond ridiculous when people come in? That they want you to do? Or?
There's always questions about penile size, and is there something we can take to make it longer or thicker? Or, you know, prolonged erections. And so those questions are always around. And we don't.
That's an age-old question,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, it is. So we don't offer medication for that other than medication to help men have erections if they're struggling with their erections. But there's nothing that improves penile size or length. And there was some surgery that was done 20 years ago that was basically an optical illusion. It didn't change the length of the penis. Instead of the penis kind of sticking up when it was erect, it would stick kind of straight out. So some felt that they were better endowed by that, but it didn't really change.
Wow. Wow. People will do a lot of things, won't they? Okay. All right. So we got less than a minute left.
Yes.
Just in the brand new in the news is the new female Viagra.
Right.
I know it's not Viagra, but go ahead and tell us what this does.
It's confusing. And I don't know the details. I did speak to a gynecologist a week ago, and he about pulled his hair out, and he was not excited about it. And he doesn't think it will really be helpful. So, and just to follow up, Viagra for men helps them have a firm erection. It does not affect their libido. And the real question, the problem for many women is their sex drive, their libido. So, and Viagra does not help men with that. It's not going to help women either unless this is something completely different.
Right, right. Okay, and then quickly, can women get help if they're dealing with dry?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So there are lubricants available. They can talk to their
gynecologist. Over the counter or this, okay.
That can help. They can talk to their gynecologist or their family practitioner who's taking care of them. Because
financial consultants and Mountain West Bank, Idaho's community bank with offices in Boise, Ketchum, and Coeur d'Alene. Dave Petzo, the host of Money Matters, is a certified financial planner professional and an investment advisor representative with Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated. Registered representative securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisor representative Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated and Petzo Financial Consultants are not affiliated companies. These are the opinions of Dave Petzo and are based on information from sources believed to be reliable but may change as information changes or becomes outdated. Nor should any opinion contained herein be construed or considered as a solicitation to buy or sell any particular investment product. Indices mentioned are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. Asset allocation and diversification strategies cannot fully guarantee against loss. The past performance does not guarantee future results.